Good morning and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, where we are reminding us ourselves and each other all the time, such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, so am I, and so it is. Very glad you're with us today. We are a place where all people are honored and celebrated. Whoever you are, whatever your understanding of yourself, however you label yourself or recognize yourself in the context of the culture and the place where we are today, whatever ethnicity, whatever understanding you have of yourself, we are celebrative of you and we are welcoming of you. We believe in you and we believe in your power within you to have the life of your desires and the life that you really are here to bring, that you're called to bringing into the world and onto the planet. And we're here to support that. We have many ways that we do that. One of them is through our practitioners. One of them is through classes and other events and activities. You can check our website for those events and things happening. Today is Father's Day. Congratulations to all of you fathers, regardless of your gender. If you have fathered any great idea, if you fathered any experience, if you have fathered anything, then today is your day to celebrate yourself, to celebrate who you are. I had many fathers growing up, even though my biological father died when I was quite young. But one year I just called all of them and celebrated Father's Day to say thank you to the men who have shaped and supported my life in so many wonderful ways. And I would say that again today, because some of them are still alive and still out there. We're also honored today to have a guest speaker. Our guest speaker today is Dr. John Carn. He has been a minister with the Emerson Institute since 2015. He has a doctorate in religious science and a doctorate of ministry. He teaches with Emerson Institute. He also has been a part of CSL Midtown, both personally and vicariously since our inception 10 years ago. We're very pleased and happy to have Dr. John back to share with you, to speak with you later during this broadcast and this celebration. He's also present in person, so if you want to scurry over to our location in order to see him and shake a hand, don't miss this opportunity. After you hear a video now on what we believe and our declaration of principles, that will be followed by a treatment and a talk, very short talk, by Norma Roberts, who is our practitioner. She is part of our center and she hails from St. Petersburg, Florida. So she will share with you via the internet. Thank you. I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe in eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Good morning. Good morning to all. And a happy Father's Day to everyone. Some of you may be mothers who were required to be also mother and father to your children. So happy Father's Day to all. You know, many of us look into the mirror and describe what we see as too fat, too thin, too little, too big, too young, or even too old, never really finding appreciation for the image of the body that we see. However, Ernest Holmes states in The Science of Mind that the body or form is a necessary outcome of self-knowingness. He says, body means the entire manifestation of spirit on all planes. The word body as used in the science of mind means all objective manifestations of the invisible principle of life. The body is distinguished from the idea in that the body is seen while the idea is invisible. The physical universe is the body of God, the invisible principle of all life. Our physical being is the body of the unseen man. Behind the objective form of the rose is the idea that projects the rose. Therefore, let's all look in the mirror from now on and say to that image that we see, I approve of you. And I love you just the way you are. And while we are still talking about body this time, this month, I like to go into a treatment that I have sort of made up from some ideas that I found. As I speak in the first person, I just hope that you can resonate with some of the things I say and accept these ideas for yourself. Those that you cannot agree with, you can just let them go and just hear what I'm saying. So let's just sit back and relax and join me as we have our morning treatment. This treatment comes from two sources that I thoroughly enjoyed. One of them, 365 Days of Richard Living and Science of the Mind. And of course, the Science of Mind textbook. I sincerely hope that you find something in it that really resonates with you. So just let us know. There is one life. That life is God. That life is my life now. Every organ, action, and function of my physical body is in harmony with the divine life. There is perfect circulation, perfect assimilation, and perfect elimination. If there is anything in me that does not belong, it is removed. If there is anything that my physical body needs that it does not appear to have, it will be supplied. My body is daily renewed after the image of perfection with which it must be held in the mind of God. Be therefore perfect even as your Father, which art in heaven, is perfect, is what I hear. I affirm that my body is the body of God. It is the body of right ideas, all working in harmony with each other. The life of the spirit does circulate through it. The law of the spirit does govern it. The love of the spirit does sustain it. I therefore sleep in peace and wake in joy and live in the continual acceptance that life is good. My whole experience is God. My whole life is God in action, for I am one with all life and all power. This word is the body of God, is perfect. This word is power. It breaks down every man-made law and casts it out. It is a law of harmony and the recognition of the presence of good. That within itself is unbound and equipped with the power to execute itself. There's nothing that can change it. There's no belief which can hinder it. It cannot be reversed, cannot be misplaced, mislaid, neutralized, or destroyed by any opposing force. It is continuous and unremitting and will operate until it is done all that is supposed to do. It is with great thanks that I believe Jesus' statement, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And I accept Isaiah's statement as my declaration. So shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish that to which it is sent. And so it is.
Oops, there we go. Good morning. It's thank you for having me at CSL Midtown in Buckhead. I'm honored to be with you. Dr. Bob and I go way back, and I also go way back with pretty much everyone here with CSL. And I don't know if you guys remember, Ken Wilcox used to do his Sunday service from here. And I think it was called CSL Buckhead back in the day. And we used to come to that. Today we're talking about the mind-body connection. And this pulls together information and techniques from our entire teaching. I have found for me that as I was beginning to learn this information, it seemed like wishful thinking. But when you get all the pieces of it in place, which can take years to get all of that, it makes perfect sense. It's the lessons of interrupting thoughts, redirecting thoughts, choosing tools of affirmation, spiritual mind treatment, gratitude, meditation, walking and journaling. It's a full lifestyle, not just something you do on Sunday, but every day. It's a lifestyle of practicing how you think, speak, and live consciously. And for a good reason, your health depends on it. And if anyone feels like this is overwhelming, just have a look at any minister in this teaching because they needed it the most. Otherwise, they would not have kept studying. The question for you then is how bad does it have to get before you're willing to do something about it? What I'd like to start with is for you to pull out your pointing finger. It may be like loaded down here. Pull it out and then bring it around. Touch yourself and say with me or right after me, I am a perfect manifestation of an idea in the mind of God. Let's do it again. Be sure you get it. I am a perfect manifestation of an idea held in the mind of God. Alrighty, this is what we believe. It's what we teach. You might not have ever heard it put that way before. That's just my take on it. But what I want to start with is that you are not a mistake. No one here is an accident. No matter what your parents may have told you, no matter what your siblings might have said, your biological heredity is not your truth. Your childhood experiences, although they stay with us, they are not our truth. And sure, as a child, you could not escape the consciousness of the home. No one blames the child. But as you become an adult, you continue to create from that consciousness, and you create the same experiences until a point in time comes along, and you decide, you learn something like this, and you decide, I'm going to improve my life. The old stuff is only your story if you buy into it. And even then, it's still not your truth. Even if you're a survivor of something horrendous and you've taken on an identity as a survivor, that is not your truth. It's been your experience. We don't diminish that. And I truly hope you've had time to turn it into a blessing where you take what happened to you and you help others that are going through it. But when we get to the oneness section of this talk, you'll understand just working on yourself actually heals out beyond you. And there's also a spot within you. I love this. It's called the still point. And we have Reverend Mary Louise Hefner. Is that right? Out in Snellville, who holds a still point gathering once a month at the library. And they talk about the still point within. That's the divine within you that has never been touched, never been molested, never experienced violence, never been put down, has never faced cruelty, has never faced addiction. That part of you is perfection, and it's still with you, even though you've had whatever you've had in this lifetime. So let me remind you one more time that you are a perfect manifestation from an idea held in the mind of God. In Matthew 3:17, my old teacher, David Barrett, used to quote this all the time. "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And I never quite got it. He would say this all the time to us. Excuse me, Barbara, can you bring my water up? And what the old school Bible, thank you, dear, belief around that was that God was pleased with Jesus because he got baptized. Once Jesus was baptized, God was happy. In the metaphysical interpretation, we say that we're all God's offspring, every one of us. And what we are is God's experience in this physical world. So the point is that the Creator is quite happy with its creation. Your mother might not be happy with you. Your boss may not be happy with you. There's someone out there not happy with you. But all that matters is the Creator is quite happy with its creation. Ernest Holmes said, "The Creator delights in the multiplicity of its creation." That's the one that counts. God, Spirit, the universe, so to speak, is quite happy with its creation, all of its creations, and it delights in diversity of its creations. And you guys, I've lost my voice a little bit. I've been sick for a bit, and so I just will chug a little water. You are being that important being from God, that manifestation from God. You are also necessary to the fabric of the universe and this planet as we sit here right now today. Did you know that? You are needed here. You're supposed to be here. You are here not by accident, again. You're here on purpose, and you are just as valuable as the oceans, the mountains, the moon, the gravitational pull that creates tides that go back and forth. All of that was necessary for this point in time, and that includes you. You are here by divine appointment, and I'm glad you kept it. If you would look at someone near you and say, "You are here by divine appointment." All righty. One for Vance. There you go. He's definitely here by divine appointment. I wouldn't be talking, right? I'd be yelling. Thank you. All of us in this room have survived the pandemic. And we've all seen a lot of people leave the planet the past couple years, maybe three. And I've seen a lot of people leave that weren't COVID, but I've also seen people leave from COVID. And I've seen one person, a young person, leave because of the COVID shot, which is just devastating. But here we sit, all of us. Here we are. We're supposed to be here at this time. We kept our appointment. And we're going to be on the other side of this transition that the planet is going through, that consciousness is going through. And I don't know what we're supposed to do with that, but I do know our love is necessary and our conscience is necessary to be here on the other side. In A Course in Miracles, which Bob told me not to quote, so I have to quote it. What is real cannot be changed, and what is unreal can be changed. Okay, so when they're saying what is real cannot be changed, that's God. That's universal law. And if you don't know universal law, you should get familiar with it, or otherwise it's going to whoop your butt. The best thing you can do is come to a good understanding of what universal law is all about. Our body, we would say in science of mind, God is first cause, which is similar to what they're saying in A Course in Miracles, and that we, being the manifestation, are an effect, okay? Or our bodies. We are not an effect. We are us as souls, we are an extension of God in this physical form. But the body we're wearing is an effect. And a body can be changed. An effect can be changed. Okay, it's not hardcore, solid. It's flexible. We can make the body better using some techniques we know from here. Or we can make the body worse by ignoring those techniques, right? Having nasty, nasty mind chatter going on in your head all the time. All of that stuff counts. This body, this is kind of fun to me. It comes from class 9 of foundations. This body being a temporary manifestation, we can be walking along. I have a good friend that says he got this from me. I never said it, but that's what he got. He lives downtown like Ralph McGill. He feels like he walks to lose weight. And he walks through some areas where it could be dangerous, but he feels completely safe. He feels completely centered. I'm a divine, perfect being of God. And he said, you know what? If they shoot me, I'm going to keep on walking. He said, you know, because the body falls away, but he knows he will continue living. And so if we get shot, the body falls off. We're not shot. We're stepping out of it, and we're going to continue on. And I don't know if you remember this. I've just taught it so many times that I know it by memory. Ernest Holmes said, well, will we have clothes when we get to the other side? And his answer was, yes, you're going to have whatever you had here. It will be provided on that next plane as you continue on with your journey. We're going to go into oneness now. And I believe this is really and truly necessary for us to heal and necessary for us to see what it is we have to heal. I know you've heard the drop of water in the ocean analogy. The water drop is 100% ocean. It's made up of all the ocean, but it's not all the ocean is. And Ernest Holmes in the Science of Mind book says, we are not all God is, but what we are is 100% God. When I've heard that in the past, I've thought, the wave that comes up from the ocean is 100% ocean, right? And this wave is just flying towards the shore. He may feel isolated, lonely, all on his own, being propelled by forces out of his control. And he's just crashing for a dead end. Then he crashes and he goes back into the body of God, where he can be reformed and he can have another similar experience. One of my teachers, when I was working on my master's, was a Vietnamese monk. And he told me in his mind, we're like the fingers on the hand. And that was something I hadn't heard before. These fingers are made of the same flesh, bone, blood flow, nerves, nervous system, everything that the hand has. But these are projections of the body, truly. But we'll say God is the hand. These are the projections. Let's see, I lost my place. Alrighty. So if I'm pointing my finger at someone else, say this finger is pointing at that one, I'm actually pointing it at myself, because we're all one. I'm connected to that finger, right? There is no part of the finger that's missing, part of the connection that's missing. And also, as I heal, let's say this finger is infected, and the infection can go here and here. As I heal myself, the finger heals. So this is oneness. When you understand we're all a projection of God, even if it's like the rays on the sun, when one is healed, because we're all one, because we're all God split out into these forms, the other experiences healing to some degree, not necessarily like your healing was. And also, if this finger is just one of the most offensive fingers I have ever come across, just a flaming you-know-what hole, I might think, what does that have to do with me? That is completely unrelated to me. There is no way I'm connected to that. Okay, but if we understand our teaching, of course you're connected to this. What this is this finger is holding up what I call a metaphysical mirror and pointing it right back at you. So there's something in that for you to work on. And I'll tell you, I've had some doozies in my life. You know, and whenever you start to study something, the universe drops a ton of it in your lap. And I had one that took me, I don't remember if it was weeks and weeks to figure out or if it was a couple of months, but I could not see how we were connected, how what this person was projecting at me could possibly have anything to do with me. But eventually I did figure it out. I realize I have selfish moments. I realize I have some of the things that I would label on this person. I have those too. Or I've had them, maybe I've had them less frequently now, but they're in there. Oh, and the ego. The ego would have us go into us and them. So this flaming you know what. And me, I'm thinking, this guy's separate. He has nothing to do with me. So that's ego thinking. And I'll tell you, ego's all about separation. It's all about duality. It's not healing. Love is the only thing that heals. Love, and love includes inclusion. So when it comes up, let me tell you, I have instant karma with ego. If I see something and it's so upsetting to me that I really want to wham them with a zinger and I indulge myself with the zinger, I go ahead and do it because I really want to do it. And I know it's going to make me feel better. Maybe it's going to make them change their mind. Well, I have instant karma. I get blowback right away in a very negative way that leaves me thinking, oh yeah, I guess I should have kept my mouth shut. That wouldn't have happened had I not opened up my mouth. So let's take all of that to the body. All right, thoughts, feelings, law of attraction, metaphysical mirrors. What does all that have to do with you? Let's look at the Emoto water crystal studies. Hopefully that will get up there in a moment. There we go. And in Beyond Limits, you guys might remember we taught this to a group of students. The practitioners did when I was at Midtown. These water crystals, can I walk over here? The ones that are beautiful were spoken to very lovingly. And they might have even had a loving word put on an index card taped to it. And this is what formed. The ugly one up there and the one down here had negative thoughts or words projected to it or taped to the test tube it was in. And you can see they turn black. And I'm a nurse. Y'all guys know I've been an RN for over 30 years. I can tell you when you cut somebody open and you open them up and there's all black like that. It's a bad, bad thing, all right? So we're 60% water, all of us. So these effects are going on within us, even though we don't know it. Thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind. What's going on in your mind? I believe, well, CSL asks us for this week, what does the body remember? Well, we know the body's made up of intelligence. I believe it remembers quite a bit of stuff. If you have a whole lot of negativity going on in your mind, negative mind chatter, or you're angry, if you're anxious, you'll come up depressed. If you're stressed all the time, it'll produce depression. Rage, we know, produces cancer. Whatever is going on in your mind will come forward into your body. I believe that first it comes forward into your experience, that you get to see it. You get the metaphysical mirror, but you keep ignoring it and doing your own thing. Before you know it, you've got something in your body to pay attention to. Okay, so, and remember, the body is an effect, but the body is going to form, mold, and create whatever you're putting out into the area, what we call universal law. Whatever you're putting out, you might have heard that more casually, whatever you're putting out into the universe. All the law does is say, okay, yes, you got a bunch of negativity, I'm going to give you something for it. Here you go. And it's quite happy to say, yes, that's all it does. And if you consciously work on this and put out positive, loving thoughts, learn to stop the negative thoughts as they come up, you can address that and prevent something from happening. Now, there was a time where I might have not road rage, but anger, and my arm might come up and a special finger. Or I might lay on the horn, right? And I've told you I always have instant karma, instant ego. And what happens for me is I'll be the person in the next intersection that makes that same mistake. Because it could happen to any of us anytime. And that has taught me to be more compassionate for people when they make a mistake, not to raise hell, because it's going to be me next if I raise hell. So you learn to not do that. And I have an affirmation that I thought I was the only one that knew, but our practitioner of the day used it in her talk. I was floored. When you're in that state, and for me, it's usually in the car, not necessarily road rage, but something pops into my head that I'm deeply ashamed of, that I wish had never happened, that I wish I had handled differently. And I feel really bad about myself. And what I've learned to do, because I'm in my car, is I look in the rearview mirror into my eyes and I say, I love and approve of you just as you are. I love and approve of you just as you are. Now, if I'm mad when I start saying that, it might take me several times. I keep looking in the eyes and doing it because I want to shift from that. I don't want to produce from that anger something into my life, possibly something into my body. That's the last thing I want to do. And I'm smart enough to know that now. And it's more important to set aside ego and pride and do that work rather than have something come up that's a real challenge. Oh, and also Myrtle Fillmore said, before I go there, I'm sorry, Diego, hang on. It's important to remember one other thing, be good to yourself as well. I had you guys know I've been running a homeless dinner in Chamblee for about the past 4 years. I just recently shut it down and I'm restructuring and reopening that. And I got to teach science of mind there all the time. People would come in telling me they needed a special outfit for a job interview, but worried because their haircut, you know, they're not going to hire me because of my haircut. This is a black man. He said, I'm going to be too scary if I don't have a haircut on this job interview. And the guy was nice looking and had the biggest smile and the warmth. And I told him, you walk in there with your smile and your nice attitude, and I think you're going to be fine. But I helped him find an outfit so that he could feel confident enough to present well. I had another guy during both the winter and the summer, who would always find like a warm shelter in the winter and send, and the guys look out for each other. There's a whole, I forget what you call it. It's a whole way of being on the street where you support each other. He would find a shelter, take all these different people to it, and then it would fill up and he'd still be on the street. And then during the summer, the next summer, he found an apartment complex down somewhere like East Point or Forest Park that had pretty much been condemned, but the owners were letting homeless people in. It didn't have running water or electricity, no air, but it had a roof and some rooms. You might feel safer in a room. And they filled up and he didn't get a space. And so I felt like it was important to talk to him about, we're going to use this because I had to speak to him in his language, all of God's children. He said, those are God's children. I'm helping God's children get a place. And I said to him, well, you know, you are also God's child. So are you really helping all of God's children? You have to come through for yourself as well. You're every bit as important to God as these other guys. And so that was an opportunity, really sort of a oneness thing, oneness blessing, but it was an opportunity to help him. And he told me at the end of that, you know, I'm an angel and I'm here to help the homeless people on the street. And I thought, you know, I have thought and thought about that, and I've decided maybe he is an angel because he is the sweetest person. Now, also, I've got some quotes. This one's from Myrtle Fillmore. No, and she's the one that talks a lot about your body, your mood, your words having an effect on the molecules in the cells within. So I go to her when I need this kind of stuff. Know that your everyday physical life can and should be inspired and happy and purposeful, yet not strained and tense. And it's never necessary, never necessary to do that which is harmful or weakening to the functions or the organs of your body, essentially, in accomplishing what is right and just and worthwhile and expedient. So she says, stay away from the negative and the nasty. It's going to affect your body internally. You're going to have a manifestation from that. Next is Ernest Holmes. It was hard to find something more specific from Ernest Holmes. He left it kind of broad throughout his writings. This one is, the mind is a magnet, and we attract that which we identify with the self. Think about that flaming you-know-what guy that showed up, the metaphysical mirror. In order to get the most out of life, we must learn consciously to change many of our habitual thought patterns. This is not easy because our old thought patterns cling to us with great tenacity. But being thought patterns, they can be reversed. Faith that it can be done will always overcome fear that it cannot be done. This is our daily spiritual practice. And the reason we call it daily is because it's supposed to be every day. Doing whatever that is for you. We do, at my house, we do readings. We do gratitude. We do meditation. We walk in nature. Some people don't like meditation. They'll journal instead. But you've got to do something that clears your mind. I've always I've had all sorts of students. And I would tell them, you can't hear the voice of God if there's an argument going on in your head. Okay, so that's all that negative mind stuff. We do the daily spiritual practice just so that we have an opportunity to clear that out and hear some guidance that's worthwhile. Now, I've got one more tip for you on this. If you wake up late for work and you're about to haul butt out the door, call in your boss and say, I'm late. You know you're going to get caught in traffic. You know you're not going to be groomed the way you really want to be groomed. You're going to get there and it's a mess. Everything's a mess. You can have a really rotten day because you skipped your daily practice. If you woke up instead, do your whole daily practice, then pick up the phone and say, I'm on my way. You're going to find you zoom right through traffic. You get there, it's a much better day. So the daily practice every day is important. Johnny Coleman, one of our heroes in New Thought, said, this stuff works if you work it. And we've said that. I know I've heard the practitioners say that. And then John Carnes said, if it doesn't lift you up, let it go. Yep, amen on that. So we do the talk, we do the walk. We have faith that complete healing is at hand. We let it be, and so it is. Thank you. And here comes Mr. Vance.
Thank you, Dr. Carn. All right. That was an awesome talk. Yes, yes. So I'm up here for the prosperity section. So if Diego put the slide up, we'll do our affirmation of prosperity where you have an opportunity to give. You can use the QR code or you can go to cslmidtown.org/donate. We have the ability to set up one-time or ongoing donations through that system. So that's awesome. And then you're tracking it as well. So if you will, say with me, I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly, and so it is. And now, back to Dr. Bob for some announcements, and then closing.
So I would add to the announcements that next week we will be back to internet only. And we will do that broadcasting from Florida, from the St. Petersburg area. I will have been down there on vacation with my family, and we will wrap that up with a Florida broadcast. So look forward to seeing and being with all of you on the internet next week. So for now, I'm happy to remind you that this is a time of great celebration, celebrating your life, celebrating the very bodies that we have and that we are so grateful for, celebrating the goodness that life is through and for each one of us. So join me, if you will, in our closing affirmation of life. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. We'll see you next time.